The book of Mark, chapter number 10, verse number 13. The Bible said, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." One more place in Luke chapter number 13, verse number 34. Says Jesus, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." Would you lift your hands, ask the Holy Ghost to help us and anoint us as we try to preach this morning. God, we appreciate you this morning for this great congregation and group of people. A privilege and an honor to be here. We ask you to anoint us this morning, preach your divine word. God, give us souls in the altar. God, minister, challenge each and every heart, we pray in Jesus' name. As I said, it's a privilege to be here. I want to preach to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I went back to the camper last night, and I've been praying and had some stuff on my mind coming over here, but I just couldn't really get it together. As soon as I got through eating, I went back last night and was praying, and this is what the Lord dealt with my heart about. You ever seen anybody, and I know you have. You be real here. We're all real people. You seen their kids, and you wanted to. You couldn't do it because it wouldn't be socially correct. But you wanted to just ask them, what is wrong with your kids? Am I the only one? That's what I want to preach about this morning. What's wrong with your kids? And I feel like the Lord's going to help us. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13, Jesus is there. He's been talking and dealing with people. And there's a group of people that come and they bring their kids to Jesus. And as a father, I can't think of anything I'd want more than my kids to have a relationship with Jesus Christ at an early age. Do I have anybody that would agree with me? That's a parent in here. Now these kids, we got all next week, we're going to deal with them, but the past 2 years on Sunday morning at Broxton on Father's Day, I preach more to the parents, and we're going to follow that routine this morning. That's why we spend thousands of dollars. This camp doesn't get by on a meager fare. You spend thousands of dollars. We drive countless hours, drive hundreds of miles to host youth camps, to take our kids to camp. I think some here was at North Georgia last week. Some was at Holiness Baptist. I don't know if some went to Granite City. Camp after camp after camp. Well, Joey, after about one camp, I'm ready to hibernate for a while. You know, and we got people here that's been to camp after camp. And why is that? It's because we want our kids to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We was at camp, our home camp, a couple of weeks ago and had a powerful camp. I don't know, 15, 16 get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Several get saved. And my little girl, when we got home, Kaylee, she come in there and she's real quiet, and in children's church she don't say a lot, but she got home and she come in, she started singing the song that they learned in children's church. And then she come in, Brother Joe, and she said, "I want to tell you my scripture." She quoted to me John 10 and 10, chapter and verse. She quoted to me 1 John 1 and 7. Started quoting, then she started to teach me more scriptures, Daddy. I come in the other day from work, and she come running down the steps, and she said, "Let me tell you what I did." I said, "What'd you do, baby?" She said, "I went in my room today, and I knelt down by my bed, and I prayed, and I read my Bible." That's what it's all about to me. I'm not interested in raising a celebrity. I'm not interested in raising a diva or some princess. But when my little girl come and said, "Let me quote this scripture," and that's what it's all about this morning, is us raising children. So that's when I look at our text, it seems like there were some parents in this text that had that same desire. They'd come out and they was trying to get their children to Jesus. They wanted the Lord to lay His hand, and that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to lay His hand and touch the children. And for some reason or another, these parents, they had heard of Christ, and they were bringing their children to experience Jesus. That's my prayer this week. Is that some kids and young people will experience Christ for themselves. And when I look at this text, I've seen something in it, and I really haven't ever paid attention to it. And I'd have to say, Brother Joey, it probably would be something that would make me more upset than anything I could think of. And that's when I was trying to get my kids to Jesus. When my kids were excited about Christ. Christ, I just picture him sitting there and calling the children unto him. They're excited. He's wanting to touch them. But then here are the disciples. And the Bible said they forbid them. They pushed them back. Here are the men that were supposed to be and should have been the most spiritual people in that hour. If anybody should have wanted to get people to Jesus, it should have been the disciples. Brother Nathan, it upset their routine. They didn't want the kids to mess up what they were doing with Jesus. They didn't want the kids to get in the way. So the disciples began to forbid the children to come. Well, I have to say, after that little episode, I, as a parent, would have probably been the one that needed to talk to Jesus. Because that, Brother Steve, when I see kids, that their heart's desire, I told Brother Nathan, and don't fall out with me, I said it in fun, but I said a lot of times, I'd much rather preach to young people and kids than I had adults sometimes. I got a buddy that's going to school to be he's got about 4 years left, he's going to be a pediatric heart surgeon. Heart surgeon. He was going originally to be a nursing anesthetist, if I say that correctly. And I said, what made you change? He said, well, I want to work on kids. He said, I don't have patience with adults. He said, they don't do what you tell them. They won't listen to the doctor, so I'll work on kids. Well, you see these men, that they should have been, if anybody should have said, hey, come on, kids. Come on and get in here with Jesus. Come on in here and let Jesus tell you. But they pushed them back because it was messing up their little system they had going on. It messed up their little plan and routine. Now, if, it won't take you very long to figure out, if you've heard me preach very much, I'm for young people. I'm for young people. And Jesus is too. The Bible said it would be better for you to have a millstone hanged around your neck, be cast in the sea. We say around here, you better off go jump in a river than to offend one of God's little ones. But as bad as this text seems, Brother Joey, these men that were supposed to be spiritual was pushing the kids away from Jesus. As bad as this text seems, it's really Luke 13 and 34 is where I really want to preach from. Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often, this is Jesus talking to Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, but ye would not. Jesus looks at these people and tells them, I wanted to love your kids. I wanted your kids to experience me. I wanted your kids to have a relationship with me. I would have protected them. I would have loved them. I would have given them a good life. But the only thing that stood between me and your kids is you. What a shame and disgrace. What a reproach that Jesus spoke to these people and said, when I would have touched your children, when I would have blessed them, when I would have helped them, it wasn't somebody else that got in the way. It wasn't because they didn't want me. It wasn't because they wanted the world. It wasn't because they were rebels or heathens. It was because of a mom and a dad that stood between their kids and an experience with Jesus Christ. I feel like preaching this morning. The children of Israel were known to have little regard for their children's spiritual well-being. Even from the Old Testament, when they caused them to pass through the fire and sacrifice to gods of Molech and different gods, they had little regard for the spiritual condition of their own children. When they oftentimes would turn against their own children. You remember the famine that come, they were starving. It was the children that suffered. They killed the children and eat them. Even in the New Testament, after Christ, Pilate was trying to reason with the people to not hang an innocent man. This was their cry, let his blood be on us and on our children. It's really where I feel like preaching from this morning. Because there's a lot of parents this morning that are guilty of standing in the way of their children having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know at youth camp, and we'll probably get to some of the other stuff, but at youth camp it's easy to get up and blast the children out of the water because of the way they're dressed and the way their music listened to and where they go and what they do. But you're talking about teenagers and young teenagers. Brother Joey, there's something more. It goes deeper than that. It's easy to address all the symptoms symptoms that I see. But I want to preach to somebody this morning. There's a reason a lot of children are in the spiritual condition they're in. And it's not altogether the world's fault. It's not altogether the worldly church's fault. It's not altogether anybody. But if you really want to put the blame where it goes, it's on a lot of moms and dads that aren't spiritual enough to push their kids toward Jesus. Kids and young people, listen, and I know I can hear some people saying, "Well, your kids are young." I realize that, and I knew that when I started, but I'm not preaching to you from necessarily personal experience as a parent, but I can preach to you from personal experience as a son, from 31 years of being in church and seeing it. Kids don't come pre-programmed to be good little girls and good little boys to follow Jesus when they grow up. It's the parents. You see, a lot of people are raising their kids as Christians, not to become Christians. They're raising their kids, Brother Joey, that they're just saved. They sing, they pray, they run, but they've never had an experience with Jesus Christ. It's the parents' responsibility to put into the hearts of every young person an overwhelming desire to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Thank God for good pastors. Thank God for good Sunday school teachers. But it is not their responsibility to put it in your children's heart to fall in love with Jesus. If they seen an example in mom and dad, it would make the preacher's job a whole lot easier. I've seen people, and you have too, it'll be an absolute miracle if their children ever sell out to Christ. I've said this to my wife a lot of times. Brother Joey, I have young people that I know of, young teenagers. I told my wife, I said, that young person, that young man, that young lady would do something great for God. They have a heart after God. Anytime they can, they're praying. I said, if they had a little support from their mama and their daddy, they'd do something great for God. Because how many of you know it don't matter how long the preacher preaches and what he preaches and what he says, but when mom and dad undermine everything the man of God said, it's no wonder their kids are in a natural mess. It's no wonder they're so confused. They don't know which way's up and which way. I want to raise my girls, Brother Joey, to have a love for Christ that supersedes everything in this world. I want them to want God more than they want anything. Some people are more concerned, and it's a shame. Some people are more concerned about their kids being cool, or their kids being popular, or their kids fitting in, than they are about their kids being godly. I know people personally, Brother Jim, that they push their kids into playing sports. Kids that really didn't even really want to play. But daddy, you know, daddy was a football man. And he wanted his boy to be a football man, so he pushed him into organized sports. And it boggles my mind how they can be so protective over something. They push him into organized sports and football and locker rooms and all that goes into that. But then they won't let their kids go 2 hours to a holiness youth camp. They push them into sports and into the world. But when it comes to church, they look at it like, oh, I don't need to go. That's this and that. What is it? They are destroying their own kid's soul. They're pushing them into the world, not realizing that when it comes back around full circle and their kids don't want to have anything to do with God, when their kids are so wrapped up in the world and then they want to bawl and squall and pray and cry and wonder, my God in heaven, what happened to my kids? I tell you what happened to a lot of people's kids right in a holiness church is they push their kids right out the door and into the world. I know a young lady, she prayed at youth camp, wanted to do right, prayed, sought God. She got back home to a family, and her daddy made her quit coming, pushed her to play softball. It's probably been 15 years ago. That girl's still lost today. I'm going to preach to somebody this morning, what is wrong? And I don't want to sound degrading or mean or come across that way, but I feel like it's time some people take responsibility. It's easy for us, Brother Joey, to get up and blast that church and blast the world, and I'm against all of that, but the fact of the matter is it starts in our own homes. I think some parents, I know, I've seen it. I think some parents try to live out their own fantasies through their children, not realizing that in the process they have destroyed their kids' own soul. They push their kids to sports, to politics, to success, to business, and whatever it is. Mamas, I know it's Father's Day, and we'll talk about fathers in a minute. But how many of you seen mamas? And here, I don't mean to sound whatever, but you seen mamas that are, they know that they're too old to push the limits on their clothing. But they will push their daughters to dress as provocative and immodest as they can. They'll buy, when I see a young lady at a youth camp that's 14, 13, 14, 15, 16 in there, and she's dressed very immodestly and provocative, I don't fall on that young girl. My mind automatically goes to, where in the world is a mom and a dad what were they thinking when they bought that, when they let their kid walk out of the house with that on? And see what they do, they send their kids to youth camp, and the preacher gets up and blasts their kid out of the water in front of everybody, when the whole time their kid would have never had it on if mom and dad would have had a relationship with God and said, we're going to be modest, we're going to live godly. I'm not interested in you fitting in. I'm not interested in you being cool. I'm not interested in you being accepted as much as I am you being in love with Jesus. They send their kids to camp and they're living out their own desires through their children. If preachers preached to some of the parents like they preached to kids at youth camp, parents would have quit church a long time ago. But see, they look okay because they know I can't dress like that. But they get their kids. They want their daughters. And there's no, hey, I don't intend for my little girl to wear a gunny sack. I don't intend for her to look like she's 60, 70 years old. She's a kid. But so many mothers that I've seen, or moms, or whatever you want to call them, they want their daughter, they're interested in their daughters being beautiful and slim and tan and stylish. And they push the limits on the skirt and on the dress and on this. And mama prances around right beside them and y'all on and on. And I've said it a lot of times, they don't realize, Brother Joe, they're raising a diva that will end up breaking their heart when they get 18 and 19 and 20 years old. Because then they're going to want to wonder, why are you running with that boy? Why are you running with that crowd? It's what you put in their heart when she was a child. It's only coming out as she grows older, and you want to blame them and call the preacher and pray for them and ground them and kick them out of the house, when the whole time, if you would have started when they were a little child and planted Christ in their heart and planted things of God in their heart, it would have never happened. And I know there's an exceptions to the rule, okay? I'm not saying if you kids went rebel, you're bad. Don't hear me. I'm not saying that. But for a lot of times, what I've seen, a lot of the children will be a lot farther along if their parents would have showed them an example. They undermine the preacher to the point almost of contempt. I've seen it. You've seen it. Pastors can say amen. They get up and they preach to the young people about their dress. They preach to the young people about modesty, about marriage, about different things, about music. And you've seen it and I've seen it. The kids will be the first ones in the altar praying and crying. They're ready to get rid of everything. They're ready to move up. But as soon as they get in the car, as soon as they get home, the mom and the dad starts making jokes about what the preacher said, about how stupid it is, and about how ridiculous, and you don't have to do all of that, and it don't take all of that, and there ain't nothing wrong with you listening to that, and there ain't nothing wrong with what you're wearing. All they want to harp on is split skirts and yada, 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 and what they're doing, they don't realize. They're not just undermining what that preacher said that one time. They're taking away all credibility that the man of God has, and they wonder when the man of God preaches on heaven and salvation and hell, that their kids don't care and their kids don't move, and they want to blame the preacher and blame this one and that one when they've been undermining the preacher all of their kids' life. I want to preach to somebody this morning. Could it be here this morning that we've got some parents and it would do us good to get in an altar and pray all the way through before we destroy our own kids' life? I've seen parents make fun of the preacher when he preached about purity. And we're going to talk to y'all young people next week, or tomorrow. I've seen parents make fun of the preacher when he preached against about purity and about dating and about touching and about on and on and on you go. And you, I've heard them make snide remarks. I've heard them make statements like, well, you can't, you wouldn't buy a car unless you test drove it. We're not talking about a car. If you want to drive a car, go see Tommy Guthrie. All right? He'll let you drive one. But we're not talking about a car this morning. We're talking about the only thing you can carry from time into eternity. We're talking about a responsibility that God give you to raise them in the fear and the admonition of Almighty God. And they make jokes, but they don't seem, their jokes, it don't seem to be as funny when their little girl comes up later on and makes them grandparents before their time. It's not near as funny when their girl's out running with every boy and their boy's running around. They don't seem as funny then. They, oh, what did I do? What did I do? I want to preach to us this morning. If there's anything I want to do for my girls, it's to put in them a love for Christ, a love for holiness, a love for the man of God, a love for church. You teach them to take what the preacher says that you like and throw the rest out. Do what, you know, follow the parts that you like. You know, we're glad for heaven and Jesus and all. But when he starts preaching that crazy stuff, just throw it. You don't have to listen to that. Heard of a lady that all of her kids were gone. They were backslid. She's down between the pews after church, weeping and sobbing and crying and bawling. I don't know what's wrong with my kids. I don't know. I don't know. But Brother Joey, she had just gotten saved. She lived her whole life raising her girls to be what they were. You hear me this morning. As I said, I know I'm young. I don't know if I have the credentials necessarily to preach this, but I'm going to because it's what God give me. I don't want somebody to say that, oh, young whippersnapper thinks. I don't know a lot about parenting. I've got a lot of room for improvement. My kids are young, but I know a lot about being a kid because I've been one and I was one. When parents undermine that authority of God's word, and they undermine the authority of the man of God, and then when their kids get 18 and 20, they want to go on a 7-day fast and weep and bawl. You'd save yourself a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache if you'd get behind your children right now. If you see them praying in the altar, I'd be with them till they got up from the altar. If you see them wanting to move toward God, if they're out moving you, either get out of their way or pray through and go with them, but don't hold them back. You'll regret the day that you ever tried to pull your kid back down to your level. For a lot of parents, they don't want their kids to be more spiritual than they are. And they don't want to pray through and move up. So they want to keep their kids down. You'll regret that one day. I tell you, there are a lot of people that's regretting it right now. While we're talking, and man, I don't know. While we're talking about preachers, and I love preachers. I am one. I got saved when one was preaching. But we got a lot of preachers, and I'm no elder preacher to tell anybody anything, all right? So just blame Brother Jim. But I've seen a lot of preachers, and a lot of young preachers. Man, I don't know. Brother Steve, you was my pastor for years. But I've seen a lot of preachers, Brother Joe, and a lot of young preachers. They're a lot better preachers than they are daddies. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. They've been a lot better preachers than they were daddies. Now, hear me again. Not every preacher that's kids went bad was a bad daddy. You understand what I'm saying? But I've seen people a lot of times. They were so busy, and I hope you got enough confidence to hear me out here. They've been so busy trying to win the entire world that they failed to realize that they had their own kids, and they lost their own kids. I don't want to act like I know a whole lot or anything, but Brother Joey, I feel like I got some friends over here, some people that's got confidence that I've gained, and we're great friends. But Brother Joey, if you've got the utmost confidence in me, and you've got the greatest respect for me, that's great and that's wonderful. But if I don't have the respect of my own wife and kids, I hadn't accomplished a whole lot. There's a lot of guys that can run and go and huck and buck, and they've got everybody eating out of their hand, but their kids have no confidence in them because of the way they live at home. Their wives have no respect for them for the way they treat them at home. You ought to understand this morning, it's a lot more than just getting up and preaching or getting up and going to church and shouting and kicking a little bit, and then that's going to make your kids go to heaven. You're going to have an experience with God. You're going to have to live right in front of them in the house of God. You're going to have to live right in front of them when you close your Bible, preacher, and go to the house, because I don't want to win the entire world and lose my own girls. And a lot of people are doing it because they're more interested in being popular and whatever you want to call it, than raising a godly family. Preach it as tight as you want to preach it. That's fine. I'll back you. As long as it's in the Bible, I will. But you're not doing a whole lot of good when you get in the car and scream and yell at them all the way home. You're not doing a whole lot of good when you get in the car and fight with their mama all the way home and get up in church and talk about how good God is. Thank you, Jesus. You're not doing a whole lot of good. What you're doing, you're putting something in that kid's heart that when he gets older, he'll say, if that's what that is, I'm out. I'm through. We got an older gentleman that goes to our church. He's about 76. He didn't get saved. He was 42. He left home when he was 16 years old. On Father's Day, Brother Steve, remember, on Father's Day, Brother Russell, a lot of times this morning, I guarantee you, somewhere throughout the service, he'll get up. He won't say nothing, but he'll just kind of ease out. Because Father's Day is something he can't hardly take. Because, see, he had a family. His grandma would go to church and shout and speak in tongues. And he'd come home and beat all of them. His daddy, the same way, had treated them like trash all of their life. I tell you, we got a responsibility this morning as parents to raise godly children. It's not going to hurt. And Brother Jim and Brother Nathan's already made reference to it. Raising children. We talked about mothers, and I'm not going to preach long this morning. I hope I hadn't. But men raising boys, raise them to be boys. Raise them to be godly boys. And whether you're a preacher or not, and I'm not bashing on anybody or preachers. I am one. But I've just seen it so much. Brother Joey, they were so concerned about it, and they left their own kids. It's not a sin. It's not going to be a sin if you put your book down and get out of your chair and go outside and teach your boy how to throw a ball. It's not going to be a sin if you take him fishing or you show him how to kill a deer, show him how to be a boy, and in the process win his confidence. I'm very interested in having your confidence. I really am. It means the world to me. This is the third year I preached the day service at this camp. It means the world to me. But what means more to that than me is having the confidence of my little girl, Brother Joey, that she can come to me. And no, I'm not a hypocrite. And no, I'm not one thing at church and another thing at home. You want to know, I asked you the question, what's wrong with their kids? The lot of what's wrong with kids in churches today, it goes back to the parents. The rule is, like father, like son. I know there's exceptions. Like mother, like daughter, there's exceptions. There's bad examples, there's good examples. We was at youth camp last week, and I'm close. Sabrina, get us a song. We was at youth camp, it was a couple weeks ago. We was there with Brother Shoecraft, and I looked at him, Brother Joey, the humility of him, and I looked at his family. He's got one boy he's got four boys. One of them's graduated Bible college, preaching the gospel. Another one's in Bible college. Another one's preaching, is going to go to Bible college as soon as he graduates. He's got another one coming up. And I look at men like that. And Brother Jim, I want to know, because I've got girls. What did you've done something right. Brother Steve Gentry's got three girls that are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, wanting to work. One of them just, I want to know, what did you do? I can see what you didn't do. I can see a lot of examples I don't want to follow. I see a lot of them. More than we should in church. But I like to look at people like Brother Snow out. He's got all them kids, and they're preachers and married to preachers and on. A lot of people look at that. And if you're not interested in raising godly children, it probably won't matter. If you want to raise an athlete, if you want to raise a celebrity, if you want to raise, you know, if you want to raise a motivational speaker, if you want to raise a politician, then I probably bored you to death this morning. But if you're interested in raising godly children, then I feel like I'm out of my, I don't know much about it, about what to do, but I feel like I come this morning, I know a lot about what I've seen not to do. I don't know about you, as we all stand, if I wasn't given this altar call, I'd be the first one in the altar, because I need all the help I can get. I don't want to raise my girls and when they get up they rebel and hate God and hate church and hate holiness. And I pray often that God help me, Lord. I'm young and I got two young girls. Bro Joey, I don't want to wait till they get 15 to start trying to correct mistakes that I could have avoided when they were 5. That's what a lot of people are doing. This morning, as Sabrina plays, like I said, I'd be the first one in if I wasn't given the altar call. I wonder if we got any parents of kids that's in that formative age that will just come to this altar and say, "Preacher, I just need God's help." Some of you's got a lot of babies and a lot of young kids. I need God to guide me. I hadn't got it all figured out. I want to raise kids that love God. I want to raise kids that'll serve God with all of their heart. I want to push them when they come to youth camp. Brother Nathan made mention of that. I want to push them when they're in the altar. If they come to me and say, "I feel like God's dealing with me about this," well, I'd hate to be the parent that said, "Oh, you don't have to worry about that. That's just what that preacher said." Push them. Serve God. Seek God. Search out your own conviction. Pray. Let's come around this altar this morning. Everyone that would, let's gather around. Ask God to help us. I don't think there'd be a person here, to be honest, would say, I'm the best parent. I think we could all say, "Lord, help me. Help me." Because you've only got one shot at this with each kid. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's seek the Lord this morning.